Let's read a few verses in John's Gospel, chapter 1. Then we'll turn to Colossians 1 and then Hebrews chapter 1. Thoughts this evening on the deity, the glory, and the eternal nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's open with John 1 from the beginning. We'll read quite a few verses as we move through this chapter. In the beginning, Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, meaning the Father. All things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it or put it out or extinguish it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man who comes into the world. And he was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, he gave them the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. That shows clearly the eternal nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, his deity and his glory, certainly as Creator. And this is the person that he wants us to know more personally, more intimately, to have a closer walk with him, bear fruit because we abide in him, and have that close, more intimate fellowship as we grow in grace and in Christ. That's our thought for the few weeks. Now would you go over, please, now to a few verses in Colossians chapter 1. Just a few. Colossians chapter 1 from 13 to 18. Colossians chapter 1, 13 to 18. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image, which we see in Hebrews how that is explained. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn, or the preeminent one, most important one, over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, just like John 1. And he is before all things eternal. And in him all things consist, or he holds everything together. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, the most important person to rise from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence, the most important place of all in our lives. Now three verses from Hebrews chapter 1, please. Hebrews chapter 1, the first three. Same expression, Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, who at various times and in different ways spoke in the past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by Son, his Son, where his should be there, by Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. There it is, his creatorship coming through again. Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, or exact representation. Jesus said, He who has seen me has seen the Father. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Now, Colossians 1. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Go back to John chapter 1 with me, would you please? You can see in verse 1, his eternal nature coming through. He was in the beginning with the Father. Very clear. His relationship to his Father. He was with God the Father, and the Word was God. He was God the Son himself, very clearly. This shows that there is the Trinity, Father, the Son, and of course the Holy Spirit, later emphasized by Jesus later on in John's Gospel. Clearly then, he is one member of the person of the God, person of the Godhead in his deity. Now, we see here that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He is full of grace and truth. In him is light and life. So in other words, Jesus is the revealer of truth, the revealer of light. He gives us light. The Holy Spirit teaches us, and he is our life. He came to give us eternal life and life abundantly through him. So he is life, he is light, and he is love. No question about that. And you can see in verse 3, and we read those in Colossians and Hebrews 1 similarly, all things are made through him, without him nothing was made that was made. He is the creator in relation to the whole universe. There was a time when nothing was. Genesis 1, he spoke, creation came into being. This is your Savior. This is your Lord, the Son of God, eternal in deity, in nature, in creatorship, his identity, in union with his Father, equal in deity with his Father and the Holy Spirit. As far as his relationship to men, he's the light of the world. Though people walk in darkness, they shall see the light, as Isaiah tells us. And you can see even John the Baptist in John 1, we didn't read this verse, but verse 29, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." The Lamb. Isaiah 53, his sacrifice. Psalm 22, similarly. God was on the cross in human form, being made sin for us that we might be given righteousness through him. This is your Savior, this is your Lord. Deity going to death in the body. Our death could not hold him. His body would not decay or perish. As marvelous as though that is indeed. So there was a witness of John indirectly to his deity. The Lamb of God. Only God could deal with sin. No other human being could do so. He was God in the flesh. Sinless perfection. Himself. Without sin. Couldn't be, could he? So he alone could obtain our redemption uniquely. He is the unique one. He is the unique Son of God. And later we see in Matthew, identity, humanly speaking, the Son of Man. That's his Jewish identity. Because he's... So we can see in Hebrews chapter 1, would you go there with me, please? A wonderful beginning of this wonderful letter, written to Jewish people, many of them believers, but not all. Some believers who wanted to go back under the law, which the writer speaks about, probably Paul. And he says in Hebrews 1 verse 2, that God the Father has spoken in these last days, and the last days began with the church, but we're in the end of the last days, surely. He has spoken to us by his Son, or by Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. He's head and Lord of the church. He's going to inherit this earth when he comes and transform it, without a doubt. He's been appointed by the Father. He's been appointed. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, when he's put down all the enemies, and the last enemy is death, and that's the worst one, in a way, as well as the lake of fire, of course. But he will destroy death. When we come to the new earth and new heavens, you know, the one thing we're missing in the new earth and new heaven is sorrow, crying, tears, and death. Disease will be there. And he's going to be reigning and ruling. And so you and I, hallelujah. So much is his transforming grace and love for each one of us. No question about it. We have in this wonderful beginning of this Hebrew letter, he, in verse 3, he's the very brightness. He is a light. He's the Shekinah. He's the brilliance. The brilliance of the presence of the Lord in the New Jerusalem. There will be no need of any sun, moon, or stars. He is the light. He is the glory. Father there, Son there, you're there. His glory, that's all the light we need. This is your Savior. This is your Lord. This is your God. This is the one who gave his life for you to buy you and buy you back through the blood of the cross. Redeemed. This is the one whom we trust for your Savior. Get to know him well, more and more. And you'll walk with him. Abide in me, said Jesus, and you will bear much fruit, more fruit. The brightness of his glory, the Father's glory, he reflects him. You will see me as seen the Father. As the very express image of his person, his exact likeness, exact representation of the Father as he is, and all his purposes as well. He and the Father are one, they work together. He beholds all things, what he created, he holds together. I won't go into that now. But he also made the worlds, made the universe. Those millions of galaxies in all the universe, we can't even think about it.
he made.
And he says he can put a name to every star. I make no apology for asking you to look at various parts of John's Gospel while we have time. Because this is the Gospel, as you know, written by the Apostle John, who was called to be a disciple probably when he was a teenager. And he's the only one survived well into his 90s because he wrote the book of Revelation, AD 96, on the island of Patmos, where he was suffering, later to be released, as a very old man. The rest of Martha, John survived, and the Lord used him to write this glorious, intimate gospel of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Son shines through this wonderful, wonderful gospel. It's the spiritual gospel. It's a gospel relating the deity and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your Savior and mine, he's the one that loved you and gave himself for you at the cross. In the extreme weakness, in the human limitation as it was, but he never gave up his deity, never gave up his love. Wesley Sim is wrong there. But I'd like you to look in various parts of John's gospel with me, if you will. We know the Word was made flesh. I'd like, if you will, to turn to chapter 3. Go back to John's Gospel, please, to chapter 3. It's one chapter you know well, of course, because it relates to the fact that we've been born again with the Spirit of God. In chapter 3, I'd like you to turn to verse 31 with me. In John's Gospel, chapter 3. I'd like to look at a lot of them, but I don't know, in all fairness, whether I should take the time. John 3 and verse 31. John 3 and verse 31. This is the words of John the Baptist. Verse 30 says, he must increase and I must decrease. It applies to us all. Verse 31, he who comes from above is above all. That relates to all the readings we have. And what he has seen and heard that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. God is truth. Thy word is truth, said Jesus, later in the Gospel. Verse 33, he who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hands. He's judge of all. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see that, but the wrath of God abides on him. Very serious that is too. Go on, please, if you will, to chapter 4. And this is very important. Chapter 4 and verse 36. Chapter 4 and verse 36. No, 26, I beg your pardon. Verse 26. This is where the woman at the well, you know, Samaria, comes and engages in conversation with Jesus. And she goes back to people in Samaria and tells them that she's met the Messiah. What a testimony. She's a real witness. Verse 25. Woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Now, verse 26. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am. You've got he there. It's not in the real. It's in italics. It may be in your Bible in italics. Because it's not in the original. It's there to make sense. He said, I am. I am that I am. Word to Moses. I'm God. Eternal. I am. When you think of all that Jesus spoke about his own nature, I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the vine. That's not just good grammar. It's I am. I am. Not just good grammar. That's how it is. He's the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. The first and the last. And everything else in between. Without a doubt. Go to chapter 5 with me, please. Chapter 5. And look from verse 17 with me. This is the testimony of Jesus himself. John 5, verse 17 onwards. But Jesus answered them, who they were, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. But the Jews wanted to kill him. End of verse 18. Because he said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. People say Jesus never claimed deity. Well, he did here. And no question about it, have we? Go to verse 30, if we may. Verse 30. I can of myself do nothing in his humanity. He was depending on his Father's guidance and words. As I hear from his Father, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. He came from heaven, of course. Go down to verse 36. I have a greater witness than John the Baptist. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. God in the flesh, God incarnate, Emmanuel, that's your Savior and mine. Go to chapter 6 with me. See, we can look a lot of places in John's Gospel, but I won't look at too many. Just John 6. Look at verse 46. We'll just pick one verse. There are many others. John 6, verse 46. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God, meaning himself. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am bread of life. I am. There it is again, isn't it? Amazing. Go in chapter 7, we just pick one verse. This is at the Feast of Tabernacles. John 7, and look in verse 33. Jesus is answering the Pharisees. I shall be with you a little while longer. Then I go to him who sent me. I am going to return to my Father in heaven. I'm being enthroned by his side. I'm going back there. This is what he said. Look in chapter 8, just three verses. Chapter 8. Wrong chapter. Verse 56. He's talking about Abraham, and the Pharisees were saying, well, Abraham is our father. Look in verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Well, he went to meet Abraham, didn't he, about the promise of a son with two angels with him. And he saw it and was glad. And the Jews said to him, were you not yet 50 years old? Have you seen Abraham? He said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Great scripture. This is the supernatural gospel, the spiritual gospel, relating the deity of Jesus right through. The answer to the Gnostics as well. Of course, they wanted a stone for that, didn't they? Very true. Go to chapter 10 with me. Let me move on. We could say a lot more in John's gospel. Chapter 10. Go to verse 36, please. We'll miss the others out. John 10, verse 36. I'm interrupting the verse, I won't explain it. Do you say of him whom the Father sanctified, set apart for the work of redemption, and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said, I am the Son of God. Yes, the deity. I am Son. I am God the Son. This is what he's saying. Quite remarkable. Go on, please. Just one more place. In John 12. John 12. And we'll leave it there. 12:26. John 12:26. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, or where he was going, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor. The Father actually will honor you in your faithfulness, because you serve the Son. And then verse 20, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose, death of the cross, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Father and Son in conversation and communication. Remarkable, isn't it? So here we have Christ the Word, Christ in deity. Attributes and perfection of Godhead are his. He's God manifest in the flesh, communicating with man, revealing himself to man in salvation, displaying his power. Displaying his righteousness, his wisdom, his holiness in particular, his love and his grace and truth to us. All that is amazing. Christ is God revealed in the flesh, the Son. Remarkable. We also read that he's a light of the world. The world is full of darkness. Religion is full of darkness. He is light. For in him is God manifest in the flesh and leads us to salvation. Man is enlightened. You and I have been enlightened to know how we stand before God. That's certainly true. In one sense, every man is enlightened by his conscience. A Jewish person is enlightened by breaking of the law. That's true, and that brings us to Christ. The gospel is like that. The Lord Jesus Christ was incarnate for the time of bringing salvation to us. At the moment, he's back in heaven in a glorified body, soon to come for his church, then coming to reign here. He has a body in heaven he never had before, still bearing the scars, marks of his execution. That's how the Jewish people recognize him when he comes. Go back to John 1, please, to verse 14, an important verse. John 1, verse 14. Now, I think we'd better have a summary. John 1 and verse 14. This isn't like a summary, really, isn't it? John 1, 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. When was that? Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus said, I'm going to give you a glimpse of the kingdom and glory when I come. And he showed in the Transfiguration, he absolutely glowed with glory, coming from his being, right from within himself, as the Greek says, right out, showing the Shekinah glory of God, or whatever. Glory of God. He shone with that glory for a brief moment. And Jesus said, you're going to share that with me in the millennium. And you disciples are going to sit on the thrones and judge the 12 tribes of Israel. That's his promise. And he's going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Absolutely wonderful. I want to summarize by just saying this. I could go on, but I will not. Jesus had essential glory. Now look in chapter 17. This is this wonderful prayer of John 17 that it almost seems is private between himself and his Father. We hardly dare trespass into it, but it's written for our benefit. John 17, look in verse 24. John 17, verse 24. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am. They may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world, of course, deity and creator. John 17, verse 24. He had essential glory. He is, in fact, supreme. He is a preeminent one. He is the firstborn, most important person of all. He's high above all. And yet he became a human being to bear your sins. All its horror that even caused the Father to turn away from him. Jesus cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? He'd never experienced that before in all eternity, separation from his Father, but he did because he was bearing your sin and mine. And Jesus said, I want my own to share glory with me where I am. This is Jesus, your Savior. He had excellent supremacy. All power was given to him by the Father. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He cleansed a leper. He made the crippled walk. He made the dumb speak and the deaf to hear. The power of God the Son in his humanity. He was excellently supreme. Even John the Baptist said he was preferred before me because he was before me. Jesus had borrowed excellence as well. Could anyone point a finger at him and say, you're a sinner? For he was full of grace and life who came into a dark world. Jesus excelled in revealing the Father, a perfect revelation of the Father. He was seeing me, he has seen the Father. I am just like him. If he were me, he'd do what I did and do what I'm doing if he were here. But I'm here. In his humanity, he came to die for us. He was touched with our infirmity. I won't go into the letter to the Hebrews, I could do. But he left us an example in that sense to realize the infirmity of others, as Terry's been saying, of the homeless in Cardiff. And indeed, we beheld his glory, says John. And Peter and James were with him on that Mount of Transfiguration. They were the eyewitness of that transforming truth. Peter mentions it as well in his letter. Absolutely wonderful. I want to just to go to Colossians now when we finish. Where have we read in Colossians? Colossians chapter 1, where we read. This is in majesty. Look in verse 15. Colossians 1, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God. He who has seen me has seen the Father, who is invisible. Jesus was in the flesh. The firstborn over all creation, most important person, the preeminent one. For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, the visible and invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things were created through him and for him. That's who they were created for him. You were created for him. He is before all things, eternal creator and deity. And in him all things consist. He's the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, never to die again, of course. Lazarus died again. Cyrus' daughter died again. The widow's son that he raised died again. Amazing, isn't it? That's your Savior, mine. And it says in chapter 2 and verse 9, look at that. Sums it all up. Chapter 2 of Colossians and verse 9, and I close. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead, bodily, deity, eternality within humanity. Well, he put it wonderfully in him, contracted to a span in God's plan. And verse 10, you, saved, redeemed by the blood of that Lamb, are complete in him. That's how he sees you. We're a long way before getting to that completion, but he sees us like that because the Father sees Christ in us. He is the head of all principality and power. He's on the throne, your Savior and mine, who condescended to come into this world, like Philippians chapter 2, to the death of the cross, but raised back to glory. And it's come for us soon, I do believe. Amen. Thank you, James. Thank you, Oliver.